Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. This morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Did you enjoy that choir song? Oh, that was so good, wasn't it? My, my, my. Great job. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I would like to read the first three verses of this chapter, and I'm going to take my text this morning from the third verse and speak to you really on the last little phrase that is found in the third verse. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. You may feel free to use that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, he is, of course, referring to the Corinthian church, and the church is the bride of Christ. But then in verse 3, we have these words. Paul said, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Now, I want you to notice that last little phrase there. He said, "from the simplicity that is in Christ." I want to speak to you from that statement this morning, and I'm going to entitle my message, "The Simple Things." You know, we complicate just about everything we get our hands on, don't we? We have complicated our world. We have complicated life. We are complicating the Constitution of the United States today. And sadly, we have complicated the things of God as found in the Bible. We have complicated faith. We have complicated salvation. Just about everything you see, somewhere, somebody has tried to complicate it. And the Apostle Paul here said that there is simplicity that is in Christ. It's not as complicated as a lot of people are making it. Have you seen those AT&T commercials where they got that adult sitting there with a bunch of kids around him? And the whole idea is that cell phones are not complicated. AT&T does not complicate you having a cell phone. That's the whole idea behind it. And those commercials are so cute. As you sit and watch those kids, I would love to know the details behind all that as to how many hours they had to sit with the camera rolling in order to get these kids saying what they're saying. But it's not complicated. And so I want to preach to you from that little phrase where it says, "the simplicity that is in Christ." And I'm going to call the message, "The Simple Things." Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless and be with us, and then the message. Bow your heads with me, please. Our Father, we're so thankful that we have a Bible. And Lord, we're thankful that that Bible is your word, and we don't have to just sit here and listen to what I have to say this morning. Lord, we can look at what you have to say. And you have said that the gospel and being saved and living the Christian life, knowing God through his Son, the Lord Jesus, is a simple thing. It's not near as complicated as everybody's making it out to be. And so, Lord, help me this morning as I speak on this matter. Help folks as they listen. And I pray the Holy Spirit just to give us what we need this morning. Father, you know every heart in this building. You know who's saved and who's not. You know who has been beguiled by the subtlety of Satan. And and who has not. And so, Lord, use your word and speak to hearts and help us all to realize that the simple way of just reading the Bible and believing what God said is the best way. And so, Lord, fill me with your spirit and enable and help me as I speak. And we will thank you and praise you for what you do for us today. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. You know, someone has wisely said that life's greatest pleasures are the simple things. And boy, that's so true, isn't it? I mean, watching a sunrise or watching a sunset, watching a child's face as they experience something for the first time, or just enjoying conversation with someone you love. All of us enjoy the simple things of life. The English language is unique among the world's languages because our language has so many words that we can use to express ourselves. Language is the echo of the soul. And the man who has a thorough use of the English language could define or describe anything that the human soul can experience. I think you ought to be thankful that your language is the English language because of the uniqueness of the English language. I want to make a point here before I get to my main point. And that point is that with the English language and all of its vast words, you could make something very difficult with language, or you could make it simple. I want to illustrate this, and by illustration, I want you to think of the little nursery rhyme, Three Blind Mice. All right, are you thinking of it? Are you singing it in your head right now? All right, three blind mice. See how they run. They all went after the farmer's wife. She cut off their tail with a carving knife. Have you ever seen such a sight in your life as three blind mice? You got that? All right, now, let's suppose that an English professor came up with that nursery rhyme using the same English language. You ready? And you think you got it in your head? All right, here we go. A trio of sightless rodents. Observe how they preambulate from place to place. They in one accord pursued the agriculturalist espoused, whereupon she severed their appendages with a meat cutter's instrument. Now, in all of your earthly pilgrimage, have you ever observed such a spectacle as a trio of sightless rodents? Aren't you glad for the simple things of life? Aren't you glad for the easy way? I cannot imagine putting that to song, I'll be honest with you. It would be difficult to do. The point is, folks, with language, we can make things simple or we can make them complicated. Now, there is one word in the English language that seems to be losing its punch. And that one word is the word simple. It's like we don't want simple anymore for some reason. I suppose it is this way with most languages, that with words over time, those words can have their meaning change. A word can mean one thing for one generation of people, but over time, and often in just a short period of time, that word can change and have a completely different meaning than it had just a few years back. The word simple is one such word in our English language. If you go back and check the older dictionaries, and truthful, you can find it in even modern dictionaries. But even though the word is defined a certain way, it is used a different way by a culture. And this is what we're seeing with today with the little word simple. Simplicity, or simple, used to mean, and I guess it still does, although it's not used this way very much anymore, but the word simple used to mean free from guile. Free from guile. Simplicity, back years ago, was seen as the opposite of duplicity. When I was in high school, we used to say that someone was two-faced. Do you remember that term? Two-faced. And what we meant by that was that they would act one way while they were around us, but then when they left us and went to other people, they would, behind your back, rip you apart to their other friends. Well, the word simple used to be used to describe someone who was free from duplicity, free from having two faces. But the word simple has changed in today's world. And today it has the idea of describing someone as being not very bright. Today, it means, oh, that person is not very bright. They are simple. Years ago, a simple man was an honest man. A simple person was someone that you could trust. It did not have a negative connection to it. It was a simple person was someone you could trust. But today, a simple man is seen as a foolish man. He is a simpleton. He is a man who is thought to be foolish and not able to comprehend the great things of life. Now, the way we should look at Paul's use of simplicity as it relates to the Lord Jesus Christ is that his way is simple. His gospel is simple. He was simple. He was free from guile. He was not complicated by outside forces. He had a way of making the complicated and the difficult so simple and so easy to grasp. Now, sin is never simple. Sin is subtle, but it is never simple. Sin will lead you into an infinite maze and complicate your life. It will turn you up one side and then turn you down the other side. But the way of Christ is a simple way. It is free of guile. It is free of confusion and free of duplicity. And anyone can enjoy the simplicity that is life in Christ. Now, that's what Paul is saying here. Look at the last part of that verse again. He said, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, being saved, knowing the Lord, living the Christian life, reading the things of the Bible, it's simple. It's simple. Paul says that there is simplicity that is in the life of Christ. Now, I want us to think about the simplicity of Christ this morning. Everything about him and his life and his ministry was free from duplicity. Everything was simple. Everything about his ministry and his life was the very essence of simplicity. Let me give you some examples of that. First of all, I want you to think of the way our Lord lived his life. Think of the life that he lived. As you read the Gospels, you cannot help but see the simplicity of how our Savior lived his life. He was the Son of God. He was God in the flesh. He was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Yet, He lived a simple life as the son of a carpenter in a simple little city called Nazareth in the hills of Galilee. Think about it. He loved Peter and John, but he rebuked the Pharisees and their like. He drew the children to him, but not the scribes. The children would run and they would sit on his lap, but the scribes sought every opportunity to criticize and to try and make him look bad. And his way with all of them was also natural and so simple that the Jews stumbled over him. They said as they watched his life, they said as he watched, as they watched how he gathered these fishermen around him and loved them, they watched as he shunned the Pharisees and the scribes. And they said to themselves, watching his simple way, this cannot be the Messiah. This cannot be the Messiah. Now, had he come with a blast of a trumpet and dressed in full regalia and railing against the Romans, they would have readily accepted him. But coming as a simple man with a simple message of love and living life in such a simple way, they missed the divinity of what was so simple in the way he came. I think John put it best in his gospel in the first chapter when he said he came unto his own and his own received him not. How could they have missed him? Maybe it was because he came in such a simple way. The second thing, Ari, I want you to think of the simplicity of his teaching. His teaching ministry. Oh, how simple was his teaching. Using parables. Just little simple illustrations. Little things like a man sowing seed in a field. Little things like a farmer going into town and hiring men to help get his crops in before they went bad in the field. Little things like a man and a woman getting married. A simple wedding ceremony. No one who listened to him speak could walk away from hearing his teaching and say that they could not understand what he was saying. His message was so simple, so clear. Nobody missed what he was saying. And what made his teaching so simple was the truth that he presented in his teaching. The truths that he taught were so pure and so clear and so easy to understand. And that was one reason why these children flocked around him and the masses flocked to hear him everywhere he went. I mean, even a child could understand his simple message. His teaching was so urgent in its invitation. I mean, it was sharp and straightforward in its rebuke. It pierced into even the hardest of hearts, and it brought people to their knees in repentance towards God. It rang so true to their own village accent and was so fragrant with the sweet smell of their own hills that men did not realize in that simplicity that the one teaching them was filled with the wisdom and the power of the eternal God of heaven. The words of the centurions certainly sum up all of his teaching ministry. When that man bowed on his knee before the cross, looked up at the Savior who had died on that cross, and uttered these words, he said, "Never a man spake like this man." His simple sermons make all of our sermons look so weak and so anemic. In so many pulpits today, you can sit
for an hour and listen and then walk away wondering what in the world you just heard. Because for some reason or another, we have a hard time making his message simple. Then, thirdly, I want you to think of this, of his simplicity in the matter of the Lord's Supper. Think about that, folks. I find it amazing how men have taken something as simple as the Lord's Supper, and we have made it into such a complicated and confusing mess. The Lord Jesus said this. He said, guys, listen, I'm going to go away. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to go back to my Father in heaven. But I don't want you to forget me. I don't want you to forget the last 3.5 years. And I don't want you to forget what I have done for you. So here's what I want you to do. As often as you wish to do it, I want you to get together in my name. And I want you to take a little piece of bread, which is a picture of my body that was broken for you. And I want you to take a little cup of grape juice, which is a picture of my blood that was shed for you. And when you eat that bread and drink that cup, all I want you to do is just remember me. So simple. Folks, the whole gospel is summed up in that little simple picture that was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, look what we've done to it. A bunch of apostates got a hold of it, and they turned it into a sacrament. They turned it into the Holy Eucharist. I can't even spell Eucharist. No, we're having the Lord's table. They turned it in to a necessary part of the steps for achieving salvation and made it completely something that the Lord Jesus never intended it to be. Just a picture. Just a simple little picture. Now, to be sure, there are deep and profound matters in the doctrine of salvation. There are mysteries connected to our redemption that Paul said the angels in heaven cannot even fathom. But Jesus boiled it down to a simple little picture that even a child can grasp. A little piece of bread and a little cup of juice are what Jesus gave us to remember the greatest thing that was ever done for mankind. Amazing, folks. Simple. Just simple. That's our Savior. That's our gospel. Now, that leads me to the main thing that I want to say. Lastly, number four, if you keeping tabs. This simplicity is a major part of the offense of the cross. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean. I cannot tell you how many times over the years the number of people that I have dealt with, either on a personal level or in my office, or in preaching. I cannot tell you how many people I have spoken to who have stumbled over the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, I've had folks say to me, oh, listen, it can't be that simple. Well, yes, it is. I've had people say to me, oh, that has to be more difficult than that. I mean, it has to be more difficult to get saved than what you're telling me. Surely I have to do something and make some kind of sacrifice myself in order to be saved from hell. And I've seen multitudes of people stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. Their thinking is, for such a complicated curse as sin, there must be a complicated cure for sin. We're like Naaman, that leprous Syrian captain who came to Elijah in Israel to be cured of his leprosy. And Elijah didn't even go out and see Naaman. He just sent a servant out to talk to him and told him that he was to go and dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And when Naaman, this important big shot, you know, captain in the army, big hoop-de-doo, you know, when the servant came out, not the prophet, just the servant, oh, he was offended. He was angry. He was insulted when he was told that all he had to do was go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. You know what he was thinking? As he was pulling away from Elijah's house, what was going through his mind was this: it's got to be more complicated than that. There's got to be some big show. There's got to be some rigmarole I got to go through. There's got to be some big demonstration. Surely it's more complicated than that. And you know, the really funny thing is, as he was going back to his home in Syria, he had to cross the Jordan River to get home. The Jordan was right on his way. And it was just, so in other words, it was just too easy. It was just too simple. It was too basic. But that is the reason Paul warned the Corinthians here in this third verse about the devil's subtlety. You see, folks, the devil wants to take the simple gospel and message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the devil wants to complicate it. And Paul said here, don't let the devil complicate it. It's simple. Keep it simple. Don't let the devil complicate the matter of how to get saved. Don't let the devil complicate the matter of salvation. Folks, this is why we have so many churches across our land. You got this label on it, you got that label on it, and you got this label on it. That's why there's all these different denominations, because of the subtlety of the devil. Folks, the gospel has not changed since it was given. One fellow came up to Vance Havner years ago, evangelist of the last century, and the fellow said, I have been a Baptist, and then I became a Methodist, and then after a while I became a Presbyterian, and I'm thinking seriously about now joining the Congregational Church. What do you think? Vance Havner looked at him and said, well, sir, I don't see the harm in changing the label on an empty bottle. This is why we have Arminianism and hyper-Calvinism. This is why we have the thousands of cults that have popped up through the centuries. But we need to understand something. My Bible here says, from the simplicity that is in Christ. Folks, listen. The gospel was intended to be a simple message. It had to be simple so it could reach out to everyone around the world. It started in Jerusalem and it spread through the Middle East and it went to India and into Asia and went into Europe and then crossed the seas with the pilgrims and came to America. And its simple message has reached a world and has given hope wherever it has gone. The problem is, we have allowed the subtlety of the devil to complicate the simple message. Folks, you don't want an intricate, complicated, difficult, mystical gospel. You want one that simply answers the question of how a sinner can get right with God. You need a simple message so that when you hear it, it cheers your heart. It comforts your soul. It lifts your spirit. It fills your heart. And it gives hope in a world where it seems that all hope has vanished away. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that I have a Savior who looked at people. And when He looked at people, He didn't see them as a classroom. When He looked at people, He saw them as people that needed a Savior. He saw them as lost souls that needed the gospel. He saw them as people who needed Him. And he didn't complicate it. And folks, he still doesn't. My dad got saved about a month after I did. And my dad was a good man before he was saved. He was a good man before he got saved. And we would ask him, "Dad, what's the problem? Why won't you be saved?" "Well, I'm a good person. I'm a good person." And he was a good person. But he had a sinful heart. We all do. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my dad finally came to realize that, wait a minute, as good a person as I am, I still don't measure up to the Lord Jesus. And he called upon the name of the Lord and got saved. Don't complicate it. It's so simple. It's for everybody. And that means it's for you. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, let me tell you something, folks. Jesus died for you. And you need the Lord. I want all of us to feel, again, I want all of us to put into practice, I want all of us to understand the true simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. When you tell the gospel to a needy soul, use the simplicity that Jesus used. Teacher, when you teach your class, keep the message of the truth as simple as you can. Be alert to the subtlety of the devil as he tries to complicate the things of God. It's not complicated. It's a very simple message. You say, "Well, Pastor, how do you do that?" I'll tell you how you do it. You stay in the book. Stay in the Word of God. Learn the simplicity of the truth. This will keep the devil from corrupting your mind with all of his evil complications. Paul says that there is a simplicity that is in Christ. Now, if you are not yet saved, why have you not accepted the simple gospel of Christ? Why is that? Why is that? You see, getting saved from a devil's hell is not that complicated. If it is complicated for you, it is because you have complicated it. It's not complicated because the gospel is complicated. It is so simple a child can understand it. Now let me show you this subtlety and I'm done. I could take this gospel and I could sit down with a little 7 or 8 year old child or a 9 year old or a 10 year old. And I could use this English language, this hillbilly English language that I speak. And I could explain the gospel to that little child. And using language, the English language, I could tell that story simply, clearly, truthfully. And that little child would listen as I told him the story of Jesus. And before I was done speaking, tears would fill his eyes. They did that to Jesus? Why? And I would tell him why. Because Jesus had to die on the cross. Well, why did he have to die? He had to die because we're sinners and we needed a Savior. And then I would give the invitation. And that little 7-8-year-old child, not yet on this earth long enough for the devil to use his subtlety and beguile their minds.